let me go back to that question about the artificial intelligence that becomes so advanced that we no longer serve a purpose. I mean, once a computer has gotten to be so sophisticated that it can replicate itself and improve on itself and create generations of evolutionary artificial beings, what purpose would we serve?
Well, first let me ask you, what purpose do you want to serve?
Well, I don't know that I would be given that choice. I certainly wouldn't want to be like, you know, maintenance crew, and I wouldn't want to be thought of as, you know, somebody that's kind of kitschy and fun to hang around, like my dog, you know, except for me on my couch. I wouldn't want that.
I can certainly guarantee that you won't be maintenance crew, because you're not going to be a very efficient maintenance crew. And if they have no better use for you than as a maintenance crew, they're probably going to disassemble you into spare atoms and use you for something. Use your constituent materials for something more important.
That's what I suspect. I mean, I think that's my future.
Well, okay.
Spare atoms.
The future is weirder than you might imagine, and because of that, it's got more room to be tweaked. There's an immense space of possibilities, what you might think of as a mind design space. And all human beings are just one tiny little dot in that mind design space. We've all got the same brain architecture. Every one of us, you know, who hasn't actually had a piece of their brain shot off by a bullet, has a visual cortex, prefrontal cortex, cerebellum, limbic system, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So we all have the same engines under our hoods. We're just painted slightly different colors. But in AI, does not have to be in that tiny little human dot. You can't talk about AIs as if they're like all a natural kind, the way that humans are a natural kind. You can't talk about the AI or AIs. You've got to specify where in this vast, vast mind design space you're talking about. There's more than one possible AI we could build. And that, of course, is what friendly AI is about.
Well, okay. I'll go with you, but I don't know that I still have an answer on that. Let me try again. I think that even the friendly AI, once it reaches a point where it becomes so advanced that it can replicate itself, has no use for me, even for cleanup. At this point I am high maintenance by their standards, because I actually got to be fed, I got to be entertained. I mean, as a human, I don't really serve much of a purpose. Even for a friendly AI, why keep humans around?
Because it would be a nice thing to do. I mean, it seems to me,
okay,
according to my ethical philosophy, and the thing is, I hope I can. If I know a few things I don't presently know, I should be able to figure out how to build an AI within the moral frame of reference I'm talking about here when I say that it wouldn't be nice to kill off the human species, especially when there's a future that we can participate in. I mean, it doesn't seem like a nice thing to do. It doesn't seem like the way I would want the story of intelligent life to unfold. It seems like a cruel, bloody, and dark ending. Even if it was a new beginning, I don't know if I would trust that new beginning if it was built on the dead bodies of the whole human species.
Well, I don't know that I could accurately describe this as, or in any way sort of vouch for its truthfulness. But let me just go back to, you know, the period of time when the Neanderthal coexisted with the Homo sapien at one point, in the rival period of these hominids that ended up going down, you know, one track while we went up, you know, the on-ramp into where we are today. And I don't know that Homo sapiens had anything particularly against any other hominid rivals. I don't think they were sitting around thinking, got to get rid of these guys.
Well, they might very well have been, but...
They might have been, but I'm just saying, we don't know that. They might have been perfectly happy to say, look at those thick-browed people over there. Hello, how's it going over there? But the rival species, through natural selection, just died out. They could not compete. They were more often eaten. They were unable to, you know, come up with the kind of brain power that one needed in order to get caught up in the jet stream of evolution. And that might happen to us all over again.
But how do I put it? Yes, we could all get exterminated, but only if we build the wrong kind of AI. And the reason why we don't all have to get exterminated if we build the right kind of AI is that in the scenario you're talking about, the Homo sapiens did not have the power, did not have the science to snap their fingers and say to the Neanderthals, okay, here's your upgrade path. Here's the path you walk to end up just as smart as we are. We didn't have that power. I mean, the motive is a separate issue, but we didn't have the power. This was the era of natural selection, and we're talking here about transitioning to the first time, may I emphasize, to the era of intelligent design, when minds actually will be designed intelligently, and because of that, you'll be able to upgrade them in place. The way natural selection works, individuals never evolve. The gene pool evolves. The species evolves. Individuals are born. They have some children, which is how evolution works, and then they die. They always die at the end of it. The whole notion of evolution as survival of the fittest is really a misnomer, because you still die. It's just that sometimes you replicate first. And that's the old era. That's the way the world used to be. My dream for the singularity is that we will transition to an era where, because you can open up the brain and upgrade it in place, you don't have to die in order for there to be progress.
Are we talking about building artificial intelligence with a kind of like a cookie or a software program that's built in that would always remind or encourage the AI, hopefully a friendly AI, to not leave us behind, not leave Homo sapiens behind?
Not exactly. You're pulling an AI out of mind design space so that by its nature it doesn't want to hurt you to begin with. Not that you're tacking on a little program on top. It's not that there's a little program on top that doesn't want to hurt you, but that the whole AI is that program. And this is a bit difficult to put into words here, and it is a bit more convenient to try and give it a mathematical description in terms of utility functions and other complicated math-type things. But if you think of an AI as being a sort of engine for steering the future, then a property of that engine is where does it steer the future? What possibilities does it make real? And if there isn't somewhere that it's steering the future, then it doesn't exist as an engine at all. Now, you could have AIs that try to kill us. You could also have AIs that try to save us, and you could have AIs that want to turn everything within their reach into chocolate pudding. There's a whole lot of possible AIs out there. Mind design space is very large, and what I want to do with my life is develop the math that is required to reach into mind design space and pull out an AI that doesn't have to be reminded not to kill us or reminded to upgrade us or give us the choice of being upgraded or et cetera, because that's what it wants to do to begin with.